First of all, I would like to welcome you to the Philippines.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome to the Philippines, and this is Property Access Philippines, which we're going to have Miss Venus Wanglisia.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about Feng Shui today.
Right.
But before we start, I would like to ask, how was your trip from Singapore?
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
I've got a very smooth flight. And when I came here, I'm greeted by the Fort Shangri-La, which is like one of the, I think it's such a beautiful property. Yeah. So I was surprised and I was wowed by, you know, the interior, the design, you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
pretty top notch. Very beautiful.
Yeah. It's pretty here now.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, actually, I've been here just a few times.
Like, right.
It's one of the best places here in the Philippines.
Yeah. I think so. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything is well developed. You know, like the landscaping. You know, all the outdoor area. Everything is beautiful.
Yeah. Since the last time you were here, what was the one thing that you missed before coming back to the Philippines?
Wow, probably the food.
The food. Oh, nice.
Yeah, like yesterday, you know, we had a very good food. Mm-hmm. Like lunch, we have got lovely lunch. You know, so I think, you know, Manila is like getting more and more international that you can get food everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like, for example, sometimes when I travel to a certain country,
mm-hmm.
it's so hard to find international food. For example, when you go Korea, you eat kimchi.
Yeah.
You know, you go China, you eat their dumplings, you know.
Yeah.
So I think Manila, you can get Spanish food, you can get Italian, you know, everywhere. I think it's very well versed. Love it.
All the foods here.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I heard about Singapore, it's really hot in Singapore now.
Hot?
Yeah.
Yes, the climate itself.
In Singapore or here in the Philippines?
I think in Singapore, the climate right now, I would say it's winter in Singapore. Probably like 25 degrees to 28. You know, that's like the coolest part of the year. Yeah, because when it gets hot into summer, you know, you'll be like 35, 36 degrees. So to us, you know, right now it's like the coolest period in Singapore. Yeah.
Mm.
So yesterday when we were strolling down the street, we're like, "Ooh, seems like Manila is like a little bit cooler and less humid than Singapore."
Oh, so it's cooler here.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
right.
Nice. I want to visit Singapore.
Please come. You know, with both arms, we welcome you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So today I want to talk about Feng Shui now.
Yes.
So are we ready to get into that?
Yeah. Sure. Of course.
So my first question for you is, you've been interested in Feng Shui since the age of 12,
right? Yes, right.
How did that begin?
Right, so basically, at a point of time, you know, my mom and my brother, mm-hmm. you know, they decided to go into real estate.
Yeah.
You know, and so because my daddy, you know, he runs into some financial difficulties in running his studio. So we're like thinking, hey, we need a switch in terms of the focus. You know, he was in music industry. Yeah.
Mm.
So during that time, you know, 1992, 1993, so my mom decided to go into real estate. But prior to that, my mom had got a family friend who is already a feng shui master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was telling us that, hey, your daughter need to be the one in real estate.
Oh.
Not you. Then I'm like, huh, I'm only 12 years old. I want to be a fashion designer. You know, I don't want to be in real estate. I want all things beautiful. So the feng shui master actually say, hey, come, give me your date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you that, you know, your chart, da-da-da-da-da, is so good for real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I'm lucky that I'm the youngest. So during my mom and my brother, when they go to the real estate class, they bring me along.
Yeah.
So they negotiated with the boss of the real estate firm that nobody take care of her, can she tag along? And they say yes. So that is my very first encounter
mm-hmm.
with you know, with property. And 4 years later, I met the master again. You know, so I'm at a crossroad, you know, because we just finished our O-levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, you know, what should I pursue? So he reinforced the thought that in your chart, you need to be in real estate and feng shui. And
mm-hmm.
that time I'm like, how do I even do feng shui? You know, and what is real estate all about? You know, so he said, just go. And that is my first choice in my tertiary education.
Mm-hmm.
So until now, I never regret it.
Yeah.
You know, so thanks to his advice that I am here, you know, with all of you. Yeah. Right.
I find that really interesting since you were so young and the Feng Shui master predicted that.
Right.
It's so interesting. It's
crazy.
It's crazy.
So basically, once I finished, studying real estate, I was underaged.
Yeah.
So, and I stopped practicing real estate. Right, exactly. So that time, I think I was like 18, 19.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was doing a lot of coordination work. I was doing callings, you know, like checking out what is the valuation of the properties, you know, where are the houses that I can link the buyers together, you know. So initially, you know, there are so many things. It's so difficult to me. You know, then one thing that I always remember is that at a point of time, because my master said that, you know, is I'm good in real estate.
Yeah.
But for the first 2 months, I did not close any single deal. And I was so frustrated. I was like telling him, are you sure that I'm in the right space? You know, then he said, yes. What color are you wearing? I'm like, oh, what is that? Like colors have an impact on us as well. So I said, oh, I'm wearing white. Then he said, white color is your unlucky color. Change. So the first day when I changed the color of my top, I closed the first deal of my life.
Ooh,
you know, so feng shui itself, you know, it incorporate directions, colors that you use, you know, the house that we buy, you know, the floor plan, the people around you, you know, is what make a person successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so I dedicate my life for the past 20 years apart from real estate. I studied feng shui and astrology, and 10 years into real estate, I start to give talks and train people. Yeah. Right. You know, alongside with real estate. Yeah. So real estate and feng shui is really my passion and my blood.
You mentioned colors. Before this interview, I tried to look into colors as well because I tried to look for what the appropriate color was to wear.
Right.
And I mean, I'm wearing white.
Yes.
The people in the podcast can see what I'm wearing. And I was told that white was an unlucky color.
Right.
And you mentioned in your story that you were unlucky when you were wearing white.
Right.
So should I change also?
No. So white itself, you know, because everybody have got different date of birth.
Mm.
And this date of birth is basically the DNA of our life, you know. So different people will probably need different colors, different element, you know. So whether it's white good for you or not, we need to check what is your date of birth and what element are you. So for example, if you're a metal element, white color will be good for you.
Oh.
But if you are, for example, a wood element, metal, which is white, would chop you down, you know. So that would not be an ideal, you know, element or the colors for you. Yeah. So very importantly, we need to make sure that, hey, we check your date of birth and then see what element you are. Yeah.
Okay. That's
right.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So later after the session, I can have a look at what is your element, and then I can advise you whether it's white is good or not good for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. I think it might be a time for me to change colors this year.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I forgot to mention earlier that we are in Haraya Residences here at Shangri-La Mall.
Right.
There are different settings now for the layout of the bedrooms.
Okay.
I want to ask, is Feng Shui only applicable to houses, or is it also applicable in condos, just like here
in Haraya? Of course. Feng Shui is applicable to every part of the building, starting from the site itself, how regular the site is, what is the size of the site, where does the site faces, is it facing the mountain, is it facing the water, is it facing the traffic light, is it facing the road, all this we have to take into consideration when we're choosing the plot of the land to purchase. And then right after, we're going to see what is the entrance of the condo, you know, to make it prosperous. Yes, right. And then, you know, there's like certain directions that we may have to avoid, you know, when we're building a particular building or a particular house.
Yeah.
So, for example, different condos units, they have got different main door directions. So, different directions would rule a certain element. For example, north rules water. So for example, if my chart, I need water, I need to buy a house with the main door direction facing north.
Oh.
Yes. So vice versa, for example, if I'm a wood element, I will need water and wood to nourish my chart. North and east is water and wood. So for example, if I am wood, I will need a main door directions of my condo to be north or east, or even northeast. So I will not choose a direction that is bad for me. So what do you think can bully wood? What do you think can burn wood down?
Fire.
Fantastic. So which means I would not choose a main door facing that is south facing, because south would means fire. Yeah. That means day in, day out, when I enter the door, I'm being burned already. How can I prosper? How can I have the energy to deal with the outside world?
Yeah.
You know, so home is where, you know, our resting ground is. So that's why in choosing the apartment, you know, maybe whichever development, you know, you're gonna make sure that the main door facing, the sleeping position, the kitchen stove, your study desk, your work desk, you know, are all the correct directions. Yeah, we don't want the directions that oppose us, right?
And this changes every year.
Okay, so basically, for example, the natal chart of our date of birth don't change. But what changes every year is the element. So let's say I am a fire. Okay, let's say I'm a fire. So I need main door direction south. That would foster my energy. That would build my fire. So for example, the year itself, the only thing that changes is the year influences.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say the only constant is my date of birth. Let's say I've got 80% of fire. Okay. So 2023 is a water rabbit year.
Yeah.
So what do you think water do to my fire?
It's gonna extinguish it.
Exactly. So how much will the water extinguish my 80% of fire would depends on how strong is the year. So this year itself, water and rabbit. Rabbit is wood. Yeah. Wood actually suck away the water energy. So that means the water itself is not as, you know, crazy as like, oh, last year.
Yeah.
So for example, this year, 80% with this year water, maybe I would decrease maybe a 30% of energy. You know, so definitely when you choose a south-facing house, it actually supplements us. You know, so whether bad years, good years, you know, it's going to cushion you off the year. And during good years, it propels you even better. Yeah. So basically, our chart is constant. The month, the day, the year, the minute itself, the hour itself is the one that changes. And using our natal chart versus all these variables, and we see what do they, how do they affect us. Yeah, so basically for feng shui itself, after you find out what is your natal chart, there's four ways to make it better: through the career that you choose, through the house that you buy, through the colors that you use, through the directions that you buy, you know, that you're sitting, that you're working. Yeah. So there's always a little remedy, yeah, to that. Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It's very broad spectrum. There's a lot of things, you know, when we talk about astrology. It's not about just the red, the monkey or the tiger. You know, these are all representative or algebra to represent the fire, wood, water, you know. So these are basically names for that.
Yeah.
And how do we use that is to see the interactions between all these elements. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of feng shui, I wanted to ask, should people look more into feng shui before the year ends, or should they look more into it, say like now, January?
Right. You know? So I think it's always good to do a forecast of next year before the year starts. Yeah. So at least we have in store, we know what is coming next year, you know, so that we can do whatever preparation work, you know, like the year before or way earlier. Yeah. I've got one case where they know that 2014 is going to be a bad year, you know, for one of my readers.
Yeah.
So 2 years before, she starts to do a lot of charity work. You know, she starts to she starts to sow the good seeds, you know, hopefully karma will not be so harsh on her, you know. So it's kind of like cushion off a little bit. So it is good that, you know, you do the precaution or the reading way before. So that's why from the nature chart, you'll be able to tell your 10 years luck cycle. So after you know your 10 years luck cycle, then we investigate, hey, what year is it this year? So that we can take precaution. There are certain year is not good for investment. There are certain year that you have to go all the way out, you know, to capitalize on your good luck cycle to make the money. You know, so I think with adequate preparation, you know, is only the road to success. Yeah. So like what Michael Jackson said, you study the history, so in order to make success for your future. You know, so I feel that astrology is something like that. You know, you study the past, like what your same element did before, and you predict and prevent things from happening in the future. Yeah.
So every decision sort of has a tie, it's sort of tied to feng shui.
Yes. Ooh, correct. So for example, this is something that I'm going to talk, you know, later in the talk. Like for example, Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
The day master is monkey. Mm-hmm. Last year is tiger. What happened to them? They clash.
Yeah.
So when they clash, what happened? You know, our very famous and rich Mark Zuckerberg, his net worth is cut by half.
Yeah.
You know, this is when they clash. Not good. So for example, Elon Musk, clash, monkey. Last year, what happened in April, which is a fire month, you know, he appeared in the court case with Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Amber Heard is fire, burn him down.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is wood and clash. Not only get burned and get clash, oh my God, you know, up and turvy. And then he bought Twitter. So there's a lot of things, you know, which is against him. So that is, you know, the clash that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so whenever we know that there's a clash that happened, probably maybe don't need to buy Twitter.
Yeah, I think that was a wrong move on his part.
Right, you know, so like there are some times that once we know that that is a good year or a bad year, we do precautionary measures
mm-hmm.
to prevent things from going down south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question.
Right.
Take your time. Okay, there. There are a lot of feng shui myths.
Yes.
I want to ask two myths that you want to debunk right now here on this podcast.
Right.
What are your two myths that you want to sort of explain to people?
Right. That people have got a stigma about feng shui and it is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically, feng shui, people think that, oh, you know, you can use feng shui to manipulate people. You know, or to, so I would say for feng shui practitioner, they have got to be very ethical, you know, because you can dictate people's life and you can influence their life, you know, so you have to do it in a very ethical way, okay? So, like feng shui myth, there's so many. Some people, they were saying that, the house, you know, if you were to see a house from the main door and you can see your window, that is bad. You know, the money would not stay in the house itself. You know, so this myth or this belief, actually, there holds a certain truth in it.
Mm.
Yeah. So what is feng shui? So basically, you need to make sure that your air flows properly.
Yeah.
You know, in the house. So for example, this that a lot of people has been talking about it. You know, so it goes through the window. In the feng shui eyes, it is true that, you know, we don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something, you know, for example, from your main door, you see your window directly, it's true that the money will just flow out. You know, so normally we do remedies. For example, we do a little wall or a partition wall or a fissure wall to like block it so that your energy, your money can still stay in the house itself.
Ooh, yeah.
Right. So what other feng shui myth have you heard before?
To be completely honest.
Yeah.
Nothing. Because I sort of just looked into feng shui because it is interesting, but of course I had my doubts about it.
Right.
Because I haven't really looked much into it there.
Right.
But now hearing you talk about it earlier and right here, it's quite interesting how much it affects us.
Oh yes.
Not just right now, but
so
also in the future.
For example, a very logical person, you would think that how does feng shui or Chinese astrology even exist, and how can it like affect us, you know? So I've got this debate with my professor, a very staunch Christian, you know, like don't believe in feng shui, don't believe in astrology at all. So we have a debate for probably like 1-2 years, and now we're teaching together. So what he does is human behavior, you know, so he used another set of algorithms to study human behavior. So to what I do, I use Chinese astrology. So basically from the date of birth, somehow our path is already predesignated. So what he used is 100 questions. You know, 100 questions to determine what is this person's thinking patterns, what is this person's personality, their behavior, to forecast what is this person likely to do. You know, so we somehow cross paths and we do have similarity in what we do basically is humans, you know, and we want to predict like, hey, what is this person is going to say, what is the decision making. So what he used and what I use are all two different sets of you know, like calculations. Yeah, so his is using questionnaire, mine is using the ancient, you know, ancient teaching which originated from 5-6 thousand years ago. So in fact, in the lunar calendar, like for example, when you calculate it's the 1st or the 15th, that is the full moon. And we have that all spelled out in the calendar, you know. So, you know, to a point that, you know, after he studied what I study, and of course I endorse like his research, you know, which is very useful as well. So, you know, now we actually cross-teach together. Yeah, you know, so to a point that, you know, we no longer fight, but we merge the two studies together to teach people, to empower people. Yeah, because by knowing, for example, when we buy a house, okay, husband and wife comes into show flat. From Chinese astrology, we'll be able to tell who is the decision maker. Who has got a heavier weightage on the decision making to put down the deposit of the house.
Okay.
Yes, right. You know, so astrology is that detail. So for example, the bosses, is it good for you? Or the colleagues, is it good for you? You know, you can tell from there as well. You know, like the house itself, you know, for example, the bed that you're sleeping, if it is the wrong direction, you know, it will create disharmony in the family. You know, so all this is based on the calculations 5,000 years ago. So basically, we're just following what the ancient teachers are teaching us, and we just prolong it and spread these studies. Yeah. So I hope that more people can actually, you know, benefit from this. And it is not really like a myth. I would say that it is based on very accurate mathematical calculations.
Yeah.
You know, which to me at this stage, I am still amazed by how our ancestors do that.
It
the
is
calculation
really
is that precise. For example, our lunar calendar enters the new year on the 4th of February at 10:33 a.m. Yeah, it's not 10:34, it's not 10:32. You know, it's that precise.
So it's really precise.
Yes, it's so precise. You know, so basically we're adopting, you know, what they have studied and what they have developed, and then, you know, we apply to our modern world. Yeah.
Okay, that is amazing. So, if you guys want to know more about Feng Shui, you can, right? Like they can reach you through Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so please follow my Instagram. You know, it's called Venusology. Basically, it's VENUSOLOGY. You know, so it's basically Venus plus astrology together and number 3. Right. So 3 is my lucky number. So it's an earth number. You know, I love earth element.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in real estate. Yeah. So every number has got an element attached to that, actually. Yeah. So you can follow me from there, or you can follow my very new cafe, which is Venusology Cafe. Yeah. So I hope that everybody, we can meet in Singapore one day. Yeah.
Before we wrap up this episode, I do want to ask, could you tell us more about your cafe?
Sure. So this cafe itself, you know, I want to, you know, put all the good things together, as in like, you know, when we study Chinese astrology, you know, we see the flaws, we see the health concern, we see the issues of a single person. So this cafe, the ideology is to bring wellness, you know, through food, through exercise, through fitness, to make a person healthy, happy. You know, it's a community where you meet different people from different walks of life. You know, it's a happy place. You know, so that's why I'm very, very selective when I choose the property, you know, of this cafe. It has got to have the element of nature, the wind, you know, which is feng shui.
Yeah.
Yes. So feng in Chinese is wind, and then shui is literally water. You know, so I'm very stringent about, you know, choosing the location. So basically it's a very windy place, you know, so there's no aircon. You can feel the true breeze. There's an outdoor lawn. You can see a lot of trees, a lot of greeneries, you know, so we get associated with the nature. So my philosophy, you know, whoever, you know, and my directions, everybody who comes to the cafe, they eat good food, they feel happy, they feel calm, they feel relaxed, and they feel peace and harmony, which feng shui is trying to inculcate to people. Yeah, so, and we spread love and kindness. Hey, so
that
this is my idea for this cafe.
That is beautiful.
Right.
So whenever we're in Singapore, we're going to try.
Please come. I'll be very happy to receive all of you. Right.
Yes. And so that would wrap up this episode.
Sure.
For
thank
Property
you so
Access
much.
Community. Yeah,
thank you
for being here.
Thank you. 22 years old, you have got a long way ahead of you.
Yeah.
Good
I
luck
hope so.
To you and all the best.
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Visit our website at propertyaxis.ph for more stories.